Hello, I'm Dango Rose, and you're listening to the Mountaineer Podcast in conjunction with the Mountaineer Newspaper, the voice of the Peak to Peak, online and in print. Brought to you by Mountain Vale Media. Now, listen in for the show.
Hello, my name is Jamie Lammers, and welcome to this week's edition of the Mountaineer Podcast. This is a little bit different from my normal ventures. Usually I'm interviewing local musicians, but this time, to celebrate National Poetry Month, I'm interviewing a local poet, or at the very least, a local who likes writing poetry. Do you mind introducing yourself real quick?
This is Scott Harrison.
For a little bit more backstory, we're doing a contest this month where people can vote for their favorite poems out of a selection of 10 that we have chosen. One of those poems is yours, An Old Man Stands at the Cemetery. Do you want to talk a little bit about that poem?
Sure. In 2015, I took a writing class for veterans to help with PTSD. Basically, write down your stories, a little bit of everything, some poetry. It was just basically writing about experiences that keep rattling around in your head. And when you get them out on paper, we talked about them through the different veterans. We would present them to each other. And the writing part was magic. It was just a way to spill out stuff that's been bothering one for a long time. And I just thought it was great. I left Vietnam in 1968. And even though I haven't been a depressed wreck all that time, I still had stuff that's bothered me, and I still do. One doesn't get rid of it completely, but the writing class just helped. And I believe it was a 2-month weekly course. And for a couple of weeks, we were asked by the teacher to write poetry. Poetry about not necessarily what happened to each person, but what each person is thinking tied to the war or tied to trauma in general. So that was one of 2 poems that I wrote for that workshop. And for obvious reasons, veterans who are homeless are the most visible creatures of the problem of PTSD for most of us. So I wrote that. Actually, the other poem I wrote was more about homeless veterans. That one was about just a vet paying respects and the hope that the very end is that a young person noticed that there was something going on nearby. That's about all I could say about that. But that's where that poem came from. And I saw in the Mountaineer that there was a call for poetry. I didn't realize it was Poetry Month until I think this issue. And I wasn't quite sure what it was about, but then I thought, I'll just send this. I love poetry. I love Alexander's poetry, the weekly thing, and Kinsel. And yeah, so I thought I'd just throw that in the mix.
How long have you been writing poetry? Honestly, how long have you been writing in general?
Writing about war experiences and my military experience, that was in 2015. And it was just a bunch. It was a dump from the writing workshop. But I've been writing poetry like an awful lot of young people from high school, college, during my service. Most of it is not worthy of passing on to people, but just to express myself for myself, and I've been doing that for years. But I'm not published at all. You're speaking of writing, and that's about all in terms of poetry. I have written a novel that remains unpublished. I'm still working on it. It's a novel about Vietnam and about spiritual things, a little magical thinking thrown in, and sort of combat experience from inside the head. So I don't know. That's just something that I've been playing with. I'm not a serious writer, I have to tell you.
Have you thought about publishing any other poems you've written?
No, I haven't thought of publishing. I haven't produced that much poetry. Certainly my early stuff is just the ramblings of a young man figuring life out, and it's a lot of scribbling on different pieces of paper and whatever's around. So no, that's definitely not something I would impose on a reading public. But I did write a short story, nothing to do with combat or war stuff, just a silly short story in an anthology that was written years ago. I'd say about maybe 10 years ago and published by Sockwood Press, which was Julian and Jeanette Taylor. And it was just local writers writing short stories, and I think there was some poetry in there. I have no idea if it's still around anywhere. I have a copy, but that is small time stuff. They just had their own publishing company. They still publish some stuff, but that's about as far as it got.
In case anybody's curious, the anthology that Scott was ultimately published in is called Under the Devil's Thumb. It was published with many local authors by Sockwood Publishing. And his stories, he actually wrote 2 for the anthology, are called One Full Squat and 4 Wisdom Teeth, and Cupcake in the Window. At this point, I decided to ask Scott if he had written an autobiography or a memoir of some kind, because I thought I remembered he did.
No, although I do have 6 short stories or essays about my time, both training in the Marines, my combat experience in Vietnam, and my hospital stay after being wounded there. And that was all autobiographical. That wasn't fiction. You wouldn't have seen that. That's just something that I don't think anybody... I printed out some copies and shared them around, but that's all. So I think you're thinking of somebody else, because I certainly haven't done a memoir or autobiography per se.
After doing some more research, I confirmed that what I was actually thinking of was Tears for My Mother, a novel written by Bert Rashbaum, who is another local of the area. It wasn't even an autobiography, it was a novel. However, I wasn't that far off. Bert Rashbaum serves as one of 5 operators of the Carousel of Happiness, which Scott Harrison just so happened to found. So, at least I was close. But let's get back to you, Scott, and let's get back to poetry. Is there anything special to you in particular about poetry?
Well, sure. For me, poetry, it demands an interactive process between the writer and the reader, because this is a generality, but I believe a poet offers their thoughts on one side of the page, and the other side of the page is responsive. It's open. It's what the reader can engage in. It leaves space for the reader to be thoughtful about what they're reading. I mean, that's probably, maybe that's poetry 101. I've never taken a course, but I just think that poetry, it demands this interactive nature between the two, author and reader. And I like that. And some poetry is good because of that. Some poetry is just some ramblings, which is good for the reader to get out and maybe not so good for the writer. But I think good poetry, more than prose, although certainly it includes prose, but it's a little more demanding in terms of getting the reader to engage in what the poet is putting down.
Are there any particular poets that stick in your mind as inspirations for you?
Oh, man, I don't know. E. Cummings, of course. Ogden Nash is just a silly guy who, I just love his poetry. He's back in the 20s and 30s, maybe up to the 50s. You know, in college courses, they bring up him. He's kind of a rambling guy, and he does social commentary and also silly stuff. He wrote God Gave Us the Fly and Then Forgot to Tell Us Why, stuff like that. He's got little short poems about animals, and then he's got pieces that are just rambling about the state of pretentious society, and this is back in the 30s mostly, but also I believe he was writing in the 50s. Anyway, I have an anthology of his and I love to read it. Makes me giggle. E. Cummings is a very clever guy, was a clever guy, and I enjoy reading him. And I'm just drawing a blank. I'm sure that if I went back and looked at my bookshelf, I could give you some more. But I like, poets don't have to be clever for me. They just have to be honest and want to share authentically and sincerely thoughts that, for me, obviously get at subjects in a deeper way than writing an essay or a story or a novel or whatever. So that's my take on that.
Is there anything that you hope readers will take away from this particular poem, or even poems that you might decide to publish in the future?
Oh, only, I mean, just in terms of future stuff, whether I write the poetry or not, it's just to engage. I would like for people to read poetry that engages their heart as well as their brain, makes them reflect on things. Good poetry is something that might not take a whole lot of time reading it, but should take more time in reflecting upon it. Some aspect, not the poetry or the cleverness of the author or the poet, but the state of affairs, whatever the subject is. That's good stuff. That's good poetry. And I hope that that little poem that I sent in, it's not a masterpiece. It's just a poem that might get people to close their eyes and reflect on the pain and suffering that resides in each of us. It doesn't have to be about veterans or war or whatever, but it's just, I hope people can read that poem and then just take a moment before they read the next one or before they turn the page. I hope it hits them in the heart. I'm thinking this is kind of the same thing. I'm sitting in here carving some birds that I carve for donors of the carousel, and I enjoy doing it, but it's just for self-satisfaction mostly. I just love doing it. It's a creative process, just like what you do with the Mountaineer. You want to share important things with people. It doesn't have to be earth-shaking stuff, but you want to inform people but also move people, and I have limited abilities to do that. I'm not in a position to do much. much, but that's what I'm thinking about.
Did you have similar intentions in regards to inspiring other people when it came to creating the Carousel of Happiness?
It turned out that way. To tell you the truth, it started out as a selfish project. It started out as therapy for me. I was working for Amnesty International. I ran an emergency alert program for them for 32 years, a national program. Activism involving people protesting torture and political imprisonment and that sort of thing. Pretty heavy stuff. And that was right after being in Vietnam. And I just found a need to engage the other side of my brain, to be a little creative and to do a project that was not consequential, like war and torture and all the suffering that goes on. I just wanted to do something on the joyful side of life. And that's why I started carving the animals for the carousel. And it was therapy for me. I would work on human rights cases during the day as my job. And then at night, after putting the kids to bed with my wife, she would go off and do something, and I would go out in the shop and carve silly, inconsequential animals. And once I got to a point where I felt like, hey, these look like the animals I wanted to create, and found an old carousel as a platform to make it happen, then I wanted to share them and had a plan of action, sort of, to create a nonprofit and to create a place that when you walk in would get you out of your head, would engage your heart and give you tears of joy. And sometimes there's tears of sadness depending on who comes in there and what they think about and that sort of thing and what the animals mean to them. They're all different animals in the carousel, so each animal has a place in some culture or society or community around the world, and so it means different things for different people. Yeah, so that's what it kind of turned into, and I'm always pleasantly surprised when I go in there and see people with an emotional attachment to the whole carousel or to an animal. So it's sort of a surprise to me. I mean, truly, I'm not kidding. I mean, it just is. I had no idea it would turn out to be something that it was. I wasn't interested in getting people out of their cars per se or having a tourist attraction at all, but I know that's what it's turned out to be. But hopefully more than just an amusement ride. I hope it's something that, you know, can kind of change people's mood as they experience it. I think it does.
Are there any closing thoughts you have about poetry in general that you'd like us to sign off on?
I wish I could give you something that sounds good, but I do find the value of poetry essential. It's like art. It's like two-dimensional. It's like photography, canvas art, sculptures. It is a way for the absent creator, because you read poetry in the absence of the poet, same with a painter or sculptor. It's a way to communicate with that person in a way that skips over the formalities of, hi, how are you, my name is, to, I'm feeling this, what do you think? How do you feel about it? And I think poetry is just such an excellent medium for that kind of exchange of feelings. And I think that is extremely important today when we have so many different ways of getting news and information and fake information and fake news. And we listen with our brains, and I think more as time goes on with all the different opportunities to get information. And believe me, I'm watching the news all the time, but it slowly dulls our humanness, our compassion, by just getting information. And so I think, let's take the Mountaineer, for example, to have letters to the editor, that's good. To have poetry is a way to engage people differently than just giving them information about what happened at a town council meeting in Gilpin or Netherlands, and it's a good complement for that. And I read every story in the Mountaineer, so I'm not dissing information, but we're talking about poetry, and poetry does it a little differently. Poetry just wants your heart to listen and not your head. And there are great things that come out of that, and we all need to be more, down like a preacher. But you asked me, personally, I think that people, as they're managing their time every day, they need to set aside times when they can be thoughtful, relaxed, soak in things through their compassionate side. I'm not saying this very well, but I think people need to take the time to listen to other people and other people's feelings, not just other people's opinions, but just other people's feelings and their experiences. Okay, I'm all out of cleverness.
Thank you so much, Scott, for coming on board and joining us for a very special edition of the Mountaineer Podcast. Hey, readers and listeners! To celebrate National Poetry Month, the Mountaineer is running a poetry contest. Readers can vote for their favorite spring local poem by going to the homepage of the Mountaineer website and scrolling down to find local poetry, or by visiting themountaineer.com/2024-poetry-contest-entries. From there, they can learn which issue contains each of the 10 poems that are available for them to vote for, or they can listen to an audio version of each poem read by me. Reader's Choice voting closes on Saturday, May 25th, 2024, so go online now and make your vote.
And that's it for our show. Subscribe online to get access to more news, weekly updates to our community calendar, and a link to our YouTube channel by visiting themountaineer.com. Be sure to use the coupon code PODCAST when subscribing for a 10% discount, only available to our listeners. I'm Dango Rose. Thank you for listening.